Welcome to the Mommy Sober Culture Podcast. I'm your host, Berkeley Boren. Inspired by my own journey from mommy wine culture to mommy sober culture, I want to explore our personal and cultural relationships with alcohol and sobriety. We'll look at not only the role that alcohol plays in our lives, but also self-care, wellness and spirituality, motherhood, and sisterhood. I hope that through this podcast, you realize that you are not alone in this journey. And I hope we have some fun along the way. Thanks for listening. Hello. Welcome to another episode of Mommy Sober Culture. I'm Berkeley. Glad to have you here. At the time of my recording this, we are midway through December, so we have passed Thanksgiving and we are barreling towards Christmas and New Year and all of these fun holiday festivities. So I've titled this, We Wish You a Sober Christmas. I don't know, some of you may be doing Remember December, that's what a friend of mine has called it, or Dry November or Dry December. Some of you may be thinking about doing Dry January. To that I say, there's no time like the present. So we're going to kind of go through some game plans to get through the holidays and to get through Christmas, and not just to get through them. That sounds terrible. I wish I would have said that differently. I mean to thrive through Christmas and the holidays. That's better. This will be my first fully sober, I would say, Christmas. Last year, around this time, I was off and on not drinking. Normally, every other past Christmas and Christmas Eve, we would drink. This last Christmas, I didn't drink on Christmas Eve. I just decided not to. And I don't remember, but I did drink between Christmas and New Year's. And then New Year's Eve was this time that I decided that I was not going to drink anymore. So normally for me, though, Christmas Eve, me and my husband would drink. We had all of our Christmas Eve traditions that we would do with the kids, but we would always have some wine or some drinks or whatever we were having. And there was always this low level of stress to me because I knew that after the kids went to bed, then we had to get everything ready for the next morning for when they woke up. And I knew that we would be pretty tipsy already, so it was always kind of a struggle because we were fighting sleepiness or just wanting to not do anything, but we would have to make ourselves get everything ready or put together whatever we needed to put together and do all of that for the next morning. And then Christmas Day, we would get up, you know, you get up super early, the kids come out, they see their Santa stuff, open their presents, or at least that's how my family does it. And generally, we would start drinking a little bit earlier on Christmas Day because it's a holiday. And because you're a little bit hungover from Christmas Eve. And so then Christmas Day would usually consist of some lunchtime, you know, cheeky drinking. And then a nap. And then maybe an energy drink. And looking back, it never added to my Christmas. I always felt tired. And I don't know that I fully enjoyed and was fully present for all of those moments. And I regret that. So I'm very, very excited for this Christmas to be fully alcohol-free, to not have to worry about all of the ginormous things that we have bought for our children that we have to put together on Christmas Eve night. Because it's not going to be hard, because I'm going to be 100% present. I can follow directions on an 86-piece vanity that I got to put together. And that'll be fine. And so I'm really excited. But I wanted to talk about some game plans for people who maybe haven't been alcohol free for as long or haven't done the holidays. You know, you've got, not only do you have Christmas and Christmas Eve, you may have 1, 2, 3, 4 family Christmases. You have Christmas parties with friends. You've got work Christmas parties, all sorts of different events that you are going to be navigating through that are going to look different this year if you're not drinking at them. And so if you're feeling anxious about that, it's best to have a game plan, best to have a strategy going in. So what are some things that we can do to help us as we're going into these different events, not drinking for maybe the first time? Well, one strategy that I would say is to take a drink. That way, when everybody else is drinking a punch that they have or wine or beer, you have something that you're drinking and you're not like, I'll have a cup of water, please. And you don't feel so left out. I like to take, we just went to an office Christmas party. I took my Topo Chico. I was going to take some limes. I didn't have time to go get limes, but they had limes there. So then I poured my Topo in a cup and I squeezed some lime into it. Sometimes I'll put some grenadine in it or even have like a Sprite or 7-Up and grenadine. I think that's called a Shirley Temple, right? Anyway, have something like that. So, because something about holding a cup or holding a beverage, at least in our social circles, it feels almost like a security blanket. You have something there that you're holding on to, and everybody's got a cup in their hands. So you have your own cup, and you don't feel like you're, you know, kind of left out. I know that there's differing thoughts on mocktails or virgin drinks. For me personally, I love them. I like treating myself, and so I like feeling like I have something to drink besides just, you know, a water. I'm not a big Coke drinker, but or if you like Coke or soda, you can have that. But I like feeling like I have something fun. Why are the fun, pretty drinks only for people who are drinking alcohol? The rest of us can have fun, pretty drinks too. So take a drink. Maybe go get an alcohol-free beer or go get an alcohol-free wine if you like that. To me, it just tastes like grape juice. But something that you will enjoy drinking while you're there that doesn't make you feel left out. Another strategy is don't give yourself any wiggle room. So you be the designated driver. You tell people, hey, I'm not drinking, so if you need me to drive y'all home, I will. That way, if the temptation comes while you're there to have a drink or a shot or whatever, well, you know that you're in charge of driving people home. I would say if you can avoid, you know, taking an Uber there, even if you just have your own car, that's a motivator. But if you have other people too that you know that you got to get them home safely, you don't really have a choice. This is my night as a designated driver. So no. And that also gives you an out with people. There's always those people that are going to pressure you, which I find odd. But like I've said in other podcasts, drinking is the only drug that we generally have to explain not doing. So it saves you from maybe having any weird conversations or having to explain yourself. If you don't want to explain yourself, just say, oh no, I'm the designated driver tonight. I'm taking people home tonight. And that gives you an immediate out. And then people will quit offering you stuff. People will quit trying to pressure you into drinking anything. You also want to have, when you go in, have an exit strategy. Give yourself permission, if you're not having fun, to leave early and have an exit strategy. Come up with something in your mind. Well, I gotta go. I gotta let my dogs out. Hey, I gotta go. I gotta go to work early in the morning, or I gotta take my grandma breakfast, or I committed to working out first thing in the morning, so I really have to go. Something that gives yourself an exit strategy. And I'm not saying come up with a lie. I'm just saying think it through a way that you can leave early if you want to. Personally, for me, as the night goes on, it gets easier. As people start getting a little more sloppy, for lack of a better word, it doesn't really annoy me. I think it's funny. I think it's fun. But it makes me thankful that I'm not in that position. Watching people, you know, get looser and looser and looser, and I can still have fun, but I know what I'm doing. and I know I'm not going to be embarrassed about anything the next day. And so for me, you know, the later it gets, the more I'm like, oh, again, I'm so glad I didn't drink. A little story about the holiday party that we just went to. I was literally the only person there not drinking. There were a couple of people there who only had one glass of wine or one drink and left early because they knew they had to drive home, and they're kind of prominent people. They weren't going to risk it. But pretty much everybody else was drinking a lot. And we had a lot of fun and stayed till about 2 a.m. We were playing games, had a lot of fun. So when we left, I was the designated driver. We didn't take anybody else home, but my husband had some drinks. So I was driving the car. And the way we had to go home, it's dark. It's not lit up. It's kind of back roads. We kind of live in the country. And it was raining, kind of a sleet rain. It was cold outside. And then on the way home, my brakes went out. It's 2 a.m. It's raining. And my brakes went out. And I guess it was the power brakes, my husband said, because I could stop the car, but I had to put all my weight on the brakes. So he said, oh, that's the power brakes. I didn't know. But it was rough. It was very hard to stop, and it was very scary. I ended up driving about 30 miles an hour the whole way home because I was scared if I got too fast that I wouldn't be able to stop. I had my flashers on. And in that moment, it was just another confirmation from God, another confirmation to myself. I was so freaking thankful that I wasn't drinking. Because how many times have we driven when we shouldn't have? I know I have. I know most people that I know have. And if I had been drinking that night, and even if I felt like I was okay to drive, in a situation like that where I could barely stop my car, and something that I had no idea how to navigate, I had no idea what to do with these brakes, if something like that had happened and I was tipsy even, it would have been so scary, much less than driving home calling attention to yourself because you're driving in a 55, well, part of the way was 70 miles an hour and part of it was 55. I'm driving 30 with my flashers on. We didn't pass any police officers. My husband, what's funny is at first he was like, well, that's calling attention to us. It's kind of, you know, a go-to sentiment. And I was like, well, I don't care. I would love a police officer to come help us. I don't know. But it was just confirmation. I was so, so glad that I had nothing to drink that night. And if a police officer stopped, I'd have been 100% okay with it. I felt it was an unsafe situation. Being 100% sober, it felt unsafe. So I can't imagine if I wasn't 100% sober. So, I mean, I'm not hoping that anything like that happens to anybody else. And when we got the car fixed, but it was just one of those times. I've had so many of those times where I just think, man, I am so glad I'm not drinking. I'm so glad I don't drink. So another strategy that you can have is to play it through. Play it through in your mind if you are really feeling tempted, if you're really struggling. For me, it's not at parties necessarily where everybody's taking shots and drinking. It's more with my family where everybody's just having a few glasses of wine and relaxing. And I think, well, I just want to have a few glasses of wine and relax. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? I'm not going to get drunk. I just want to have a few glasses of wine. And I know that I can. I don't think that I can't do that. I can do that. I choose not to do that. But how I choose not to do that is to play it through in my head. You just have to be aware and think about the decisions that you're making. And when you're making a change in your life or making a new habit, sometimes you have to do those things more consciously. You weigh the pros and the cons of a decision. So play it through in your mind. Okay, so if I have this drink, if I just have one or just the one glass of wine or a couple glasses of wine with my family, or I'm at this party, if I just, you know, oh, come on, just have one beer with us or just have this shot with us, play it through. Or just drink tonight. It's a special occasion. It's a Christmas party. Just do it tonight. So play that through in your mind. Play it through to the end. What does that look like? Okay, you make the decision. You have the drink. How do you immediately feel? Maybe you immediately feel a little bit more relaxed because that's what your body is conditioned to do. Maybe not. Maybe you have the drink and you don't feel more relaxed because it's been long enough since you've had a drink that it almost makes you a little more anxious. Your neuroreceptors are not firing and wiring in the same way that have conditioned your mind to think, oh yes, now I'm relaxed. They're firing different. That's what happened to me when I had a drink of wine on our cruise. I realized that my neuroreceptors were firing differently. And it didn't immediately make me more relaxed like that first drink used to. It immediately made me like, why? What am I doing? Why am I doing this? I don't want to do this. Is this helping me? Is this going to make me have more fun on my cruise? Is this going to make my kids have more fun on this cruise? And so I had already started retraining my brain 6 months after being alcohol free. Hopefully you're there too. But if you're not, if it's just been a few weeks or a few days or a day, play it through. So maybe you feel more relaxed. Maybe you don't with that first drink. But then you have the one drink. That, say that's all you're going to have. Well, then that's all you've had. And then, okay, so what did that do for you? Did it make you more relaxed? Maybe for a minute it did. Did it make you have more fun? Or did it just kind of make you sleepy? Did it make you want to nap now? Is that what it's going to make you do if you play it through? Is it going to make me want to nap? Is the one going to even do anything for me to make it worth it? Then what's the point? What's the takeaway? Besides maybe it making me more tired. Okay, so then play it through more. Okay, what if I have more? What if I have a couple of shots? Well, then you are going to start feeling different and acting different. Okay, then how am I going to get home? Then how am I going to feel tonight as I'm going to bed? Am I going to feel glad? Am I going to feel like it was worth it? How am I going to feel in the morning? Am I going to feel hungover? Am I going to feel thirsty, spinny? Am I going to wake up in the middle of the night with my heart racing because my body has dumped so much dopamine to try to self-regulate itself? How am I going to feel when I first wake up? Am I going to feel proud of myself like I have been feeling every morning? I wake up proud, or am I going to wake up feeling down on myself? Am I going to wake up feeling like, well, shoot, last night was a fail? How am I going to feel? How am I going to feel in the morning? And is it worth it? Is this worth it? And what if I don't have the drink? Is it going to be that much worse? Just play it through. This minute craving, this minute pressure, this short-lived, what's it going to do and is it going to be worth it? If you find that it's going to be worth it and you do it, then the next day, reevaluate. Was it worth it? How do I feel today? And then you move on from there. My guess is that you'll decide it wasn't worth it and you'll move forward again being alcohol free. But only you can answer that question. But just play it through in your mind and weigh the pros and cons, weigh the things that you know about alcohol. And I would suggest before you go places that you feel like it might be, if you feel like it might be difficult for you, before you go, go through in your mind what you know. What do I know right now while I'm not faced with a situation where anybody's pressuring me or where maybe I'm the only one not drinking? I'm not in the middle of a situation where I want to drink. What do I know about alcohol? What good does it do me? What bad does it do me? Maybe go back and listen to the podcast, our podcast earlier, the cold hard facts about alcohol. Maybe look in your journal, things that you've written down. Go through in your mind, what do I know about alcohol before you ever step foot into a situation where you might feel tempted or pressured? And that way you're going into it with a clear mind and a focused mind and a rational mind about the decisions that you're making. Not a spur of the moment decision, but a rational decision with the facts at hand. What benefits does alcohol have? And what detriments does alcohol have? Well, spoiler alert, really, physically, it has no benefits. It's only bad for you. It is only bad for you. Bad for your body, bad for your mind, and bad for your spirit. It's a literal poison. It's a carcinogen. It's a toxin. And those things you know. So the strategy of reminding yourself before you ever go of what you know does make it a little bit easier when you're in that situation of, well, one drink won't hurt. Well, one drink won't help. And actually, one drink does hurt. It literally physically does hurt your body. It doesn't do anything good for your body. So I hope that these different strategies will help you as you navigate through these holidays. I can promise you that it is worth it, that the effort is worth it, that this will be my first, like I said, totally sober Christmas, but I have, you know, done sober New Year's, sober Thanksgiving, sober Easter, sober birthdays, sober cruises, sober vacations, and I always come out so very thankful that I'm alcohol free. It always feels so worth it and genuinely so life affirming to be fully present, fully proud of myself, and fully living my life, not being dulled down by a substance. You can always email me at burkebrin@manifesting-mama.com. If you need any encouragement or have any questions, I'll link that below the podcast. But I know that you can do this. You're going to have a wonderful Christmas and a wonderful New Year's. And we wish you a sober Christmas. Have a good day.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Mommy Sober Culture. My hope is that after listening to each episode, you come away feeling encouraged, hopeful, and seen. If you enjoy this content, be sure to hit the subscribe button so that you'll be the first to know every week when the new episode drops. Also, if you have any questions or anything you'd like me to talk about, please feel free to email me at burkebrin@manifesting-mama.com. I'll link it below. Have a great day.